Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I want to invite you to join me each week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends about today's entrepreneur right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you so much for listening today. And if you happen to be on Facebook, don't forget my bottom line benefit contributors are posting some great content on the page. And they're going to share with you some of their latest ideas on everything from, you know, finance with Phil Capel, health and fitness with Tom Fabry, PR. Of course, we have Bill Corbett, who's going to be on tonight. And social media, we have also Tom Jacoberger. So check it out. We're going to give you reasons each week to be checking out the Profit Express Facebook page. Now, for today's bottom line benefit, as I just mentioned, we will have Bill Corbett, president of Corbett Public Relations, which is a media relations, social media, and personal branding consulting firm. Now, if you aren't sure what gift to give that super valuable, important client for the holidays, or how you can stand out during the rush of these, you know, continual holiday parties, keep attuned to the Profit Express and WRHU because Bill's going to share some rather creative and festive ideas with you. Now, you are probably aware, as I'm sure most Americans are, that this past weekend was the 73rd anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Now, depending upon how old you are, the marking of that tragic day in American history may have different meaning for you. And the remaining veterans of World War II represent what has been called the greatest generation. Now, I personally have always been fascinated with the people of that generation, and in particular with the veterans of World War II. I feel they have so much to share with you and I, and especially the younger generations. Now, especially as an entrepreneur, as a sales pro, for you listening right now, you all know how important sacrifice and hard work are to your success. Well, from my perspective, I think a generation, a group of people, World War II veterans embodied words like sacrifice and hard work. Now, I'm about to introduce you to someone who learned amazing life lessons firsthand about hard work and about sacrifice from a World War II, not just a veteran, but a hero. And that hero was his dad. My guest is Marvin Soskal, who's a good friend of mine. He's a local entrepreneur with his own jewelry business, Brett Harrison Jewelers. And Marvin will share with you the story of his dad, Murray Soskal, and Murray's book, From the Bronx to Berchtesgaden: Garden, The Combat Memoir of a World War II Hero. Now, you might be thinking, well, hey, why are we talking about World War II veterans and the story of combat on the Profit Express? Well, because you know what? We're all going through life on a daily basis, and perhaps you're looking for a new way of looking at or approaching the hurdles that you're facing in life and in business. So I thought the timing was right. So if you are, then I think the story of Murray Soskal, a real-life World War II hero, will be exactly what you're looking for. And when I say hero, Murray's experience, he had 3 years in combat in World War II. He was a recipient of two Silver Stars, a Bronze Star, and 6 Battle Stars. Now, in my opinion, after having read the book cover to cover, Murray's book, From the Bronx to Berchtesgaden Garden, is a must-read for so many reasons. Why? Well, if you love the stories of World War II alone, you're going to want to read it. If you are inspired by real-life heroes, of which Murray certainly fit the bill, you'll want to read the book. Or perhaps you just want to read a story about a great American. And those are just 3 reasons for my opinion. Now, unfortunately, Murray could not be here to share his story. Murray passed on September the 11th, 2013. So instead, it is my pleasure to welcome his son, my good friend, Marvin Soskal, to the Profit Express. Marvin, how are you today?
Fantastic, Tim. And I thank you for inviting me here to celebrate and to honor my dad and his story.
I'm glad you used the word celebrate and honor. And I, no joke, I read the book cover to cover. It's a fantastic read. And just before the show, I was amazed to learn that it wasn't until later in life that you realized everything your dad had done. Because he didn't write the book until he was about 90, right?
Well, it was completed when he was 90, yes.
Okay, so it was completed when he was 90. And yet you went through so much of life not knowing what your dad was really, what he really did in World War II.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. So then he waited till almost the end of his life to write this book. Why did he start this project of writing the book?
Well, as long as I've known my dad, we've known about his medals, but I never understood what medals meant. It just was, to me, being part of the military, you got medals.
Right.
When my dad was about 82,
okay.
1983, my niece sat on his knee and said, "Poppy, could you tell me about World War II?" Now, from that point on, my dad has never spoken about the war. He's never told myself or my brothers anything about the war. And he's never expressed any of his deep-set feelings about what happened during the war. So this was like an epiphany. This is an awakening where my dad said, "You know what? Maybe I'll start talking about the war. Maybe I'll start writing about it." And he started writing his thoughts, whereas he had 22 pages of his memoir. And he then handed it to a bunch of his friends who said, "Murray, this is a great story. Continue." And he then had 50 pages, which my sister-in-law and my daughter were compiling and typing up his handwriting to the point where they got fed up and they decided they didn't want to be bothered with this anymore. And this went on for about a year until my dad submitted this to an attorney who said, "You know what, Murray, we have a great story here. Maybe we could make a movie out of it." And he drew up a contract for my dad, which my dad sent to me, and I looked at it and I said, "Forget it."
Okay. Right.
You know, he wanted to give all the movie rights away.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. But number one, one of the things that I think about my dad's book, and yesterday I mentioned you earlier, I watched Angelina Jolie and her documentary with Louis Zamperini, who was from the new book, Unbroken.
Right.
And Louis was this Olympic star.
He was
star,
track star or something like that?
A track
or?
Star.
Right.
Phenomenal. And when he got involved in the war, he was on a ship, on an airplane that went down, and he was captured by the Japanese.
Right.
And it's a story. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know what? When I edited my dad's book, okay, I now am so humbled compared to what our service people do for us today.
Right.
And it's just an amazing, feeling that I now have developed for our armed forces because it's, you know, God bless them. They protect us.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, as I'm reading the book, and you know, you and I have gone back and forth a few times, in booking the show today and all that. And I said, "Wow, your dad was really an amazing man." Now, that's one thing for me. Obviously, I never had the pleasure of meeting your dad, unfortunately. But it's amazing what he just held inside for so long. And it wasn't until, was it a niece of yours just sat on his lap and say, "Hey, tell me about what happened in World War II." So she was really the catalyst that got us to the point of the book.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm glad she did. I'm certainly glad she did. So then what was life like growing up with Murray as your dad?
Well, my dad, God bless him, he started with nothing. He built a jewelry store, which started off as a gift store. We had Penzi Pinkies. We had toys.
We had
greeting cards. There were two cases of jewelry he had on consignment until 1967 when he took a partner. They redid the store. His partner was a craftsman who worked with Harry Winston and did some special order work. And the idea was that my dad would be the salesperson and Marty would be the jeweler.
Yeah.
And they put together this operation that, as a child, I grew up in from sweeping the floors to at the age of 13, sitting at the bench and learning how to solder and repair jewelry and taking care of clients.
Wow.
You know, so I learned from the ground up. And where I grew up with the family jewels, I had a friend whose mom was a corsetier, and he grew up in bras and girdles. So I guess I got the better end of the deal.
I think you did. I think you certainly did. So then, so not only is he a World War II hero, you know, your entrepreneurial spirit, you know, obviously was kind of born with your dad.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. Now, what I'd like to do, I'm going to read a little excerpt from the book. This is actually one of the first few pages in the book. And your dad writes, "Every other week, I would sit on the outside windowsill of our fifth floor apartment and wash the windows. My sisters held my feet to make sure I wouldn't fall. Each week after my father was paid, he would buy a 5-cent candy bar and cut it into sections so each one of us could get a piece. This was a reward for doing our chores. We did not have air conditioning," he goes on to say, your dad. "So during the hot summer, we slept on the fire escape. God. During the summer days, we sunned ourselves on the roof, which is known as Tar Beach, and ran around under the fire hydrant to cool down and escape the heat." So, Marvin, I ask you, our kids today, and I have a 5-year-old boy, we can't put a kid today on a scooter without a helmet. And your dad is dangling out a window, being held in by his two sisters, washing the windows, sleeping on fire escapes. Do you think we're missing certain life experiences today that could allow us to more easily embrace sacrifice and hard work the way your dad's generation did?
Right. Well, in my dad's generation, again, they grew up a very different way. My grandparents came over from Europe. They had nothing. They understood what it is to have nothing and to appreciate having just a little bit of something.
Right.
And my dad grew up in a family where my grandfather was a tailor. He worked hard. Each one of them chipped in. They all had their chores to do. They had things to do. They lived in a tenement in the Bronx. It was, you know, a 2-bedroom apartment for 5 people. And it's something that our children, I mean, they don't understand today.
Yeah.
There are lots of people in the world that, you know, that's how they are growing up today. But for our children, there's something called entitlement.
Yes.
Unfortunately, yeah. Whether it be through technology, because everything is very fast-paced today,
yeah.
Okay, our children now feel entitled. And it's up to us. It's our job to try and bring them back down to earth and to get them to understand that you have to earn your way in life. And that's one of the things that my dad did for me, and I work towards doing it for my children.
I mean, that's really the sense I got in this book. You know, when you read a story about that, you know, doing the windows that way and his sisters have to hold on to his feet. Like today, you'd almost get arrested. They'd be like, you know, child endangerment or something or abuse. Mm. But, oh, my goodness. But that, I can't just help. I mean, it just gives you such a different perspective. And as you go on to read his story of the battles he fought in France and in Germany, you kind of understand how he got through so much just utter hell and misery, you know. And folks, this is the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. This past weekend was the 73rd anniversary of Pearl Harbor, which was December 7th, 1941. And I'm a big fan, and I don't want to use the word lightly when I say fan, but of the greatest generation, of in particular World War II heroes and World War II veterans. And they, to me, embodied two characteristics that I think are so crucial, especially for you out there, the sales professional, for you, the entrepreneur: sacrifice and hard work. And if that's not a part of your daily day, then you're not doing what you need to be doing. And as today's guest, Marvin Soskal, as you share with us, we might be getting away from that to a certain extent. So we're having, if you're just joining us, Marvin Soskal, who's the son of World War II hero Murray Soskal. And we're kind of just discussing his book. And the book is From the Bronx to Berchtesgaden, The Combat Memoir of a World War II Hero. And here's the great part about my conversation with Marvin today, who I've known for years. He really didn't know so much about his dad's story, who is two silver stars,
a bronze star,
and then
eight battle stars, French Froligé, French Medal of Valor,
right.
And a couple.
You just
of
thought
medals.
It was medals. He had no real idea of the significance,
sure,
of this.
And one day after I was talking to my dad editing this story,
right,
I asked him about his Silver Stars. I said, how did you get this? What is this all about? And I found out through the grapevine, not through my dad, that a Silver Star is something that's only given to somebody of extreme bravery mm-hmm. and valor.
Right.
And very few people get a Silver Star. It's very rare. My dad has two.
Which leads me to my next question. Did Murray think of himself as a hero?
Murray never talked about himself as a hero, never thought of himself as a hero because he never talked about the war for, again, the 60 or 70 years that...
It wasn't until he was in his 80s that you... Yeah.
Until I was editing his book with him.
Wow.
That I learned about all of these phenomenal stories.
Now, your mother, Pearl, she's still with us, right?
Absolutely.
She's down in Florida.
Thank God.
Yes. What was her... I mean, that was her husband. How did she communicate, you know, her perception of your dad to you kids? I mean, was there... Did she even talk about it, or did she get into, you know, his time in World War II?
No.
Really?
It's
so different than it is today, isn't it?
Oh, it is. They were very humble. They were hardworking people. It was all about the family, raising the family, mm-hmm. keeping the family structured together,
right.
making sure that we were all cohesive, that we worked together towards a common goal. Mm. But it was never about accomplishments of what I did, where I was, and who I am. And again, as I went about editing this book and finding out more information, because again, my dad was very vague about certain things, so I had to do a certain amount of research, mm-hmm. Again, understanding that my dad was wounded in action twice, not once, but twice. And instead of going into an army hospital and taking the time to retrack and heal and do what he needed to do, he didn't want a letter going back to his barons stating that your son was wounded in action. So my dad was patched up by the medics and he was sent back out onto the front to fight again. And by and large, today we are still trying. We're working with Steve Israel's office, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with Senator Deutsch down in Florida, to try and get my dad a Purple Heart. And one of the things that is documented in his book, we have a saber that my dad took off
of. There's a picture of it in the book, right?
There is a picture
yeah,
in
yeah.
the book.
Yeah.
There's a saber that my dad took from a German SS officer that he had to shoot, mm-hmm. Who actually cut my dad across the stomach with this dagger. And after my dad shot him, he took the dagger. And this dagger, if they need evidence, I'm sure has DNA on it mm-hmm. that can provide the proper evidence to get my dad
to be able to award
heart.
Him a purple. So, wow.
So, and it's just posthumous that we're looking to have this because up in heaven, you know what? It's something, Dad, that you deserved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's certainly looking down proud at you guys. So this is a family effort then. Obviously, you guys are trying to put this in the works then.
Absolutely. And my son Brett from yeah. Brett Harrison.
Sure.
My son put together a great website. It's www.murraysoskal.com. Yeah. Whereas he spent an entire day editing my father speaking his whole story. So if you want to hear the story and see my dad firsthand, go onto his website. You can see also where I had my dad honored as veteran of the game on May 5th in 2012,
right.
Where 30,000 people jumped up and my dad took his
hat off. That was a Mets game,
crowd.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
So, I mean, so thank goodness I was able to pay my dad back in certain ways.
In some ways, right.
And
right.
he earned it.
Wow. What, and again, folks, it's the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM, WRHU. Today, it's hard work and sacrifice, which plays into our lives, whether it's personally, whether it's professionally in the business. And, you know, you're out there. You're making things happen in your business, in your career. And sacrifice and hard work are part of it each and every day. And I had the idea to look at it from a unique perspective. And that's why I'm having, you know, a good friend of mine, Marvin Soskal, coming on today. And if you're just joining us, Marvin Soskal, local entrepreneur, Brett Harrison Jewelers, of course. And he's sharing the story of his dad's book, Murray Soskal. And that is From the Bronx to Breakfast Garden, The Combat Memoir of a World War II Hero. And I'm going to keep saying it. It was so amazing that it wasn't just your dad. I think it was also part of the dad generation not talking about it. You know, other than, okay, dad's got a box of medals up in the attic somewhere, as opposed to, you know, reading the story, what your dad had to go through to get those. I mean, wow. It really is amazing.
And I have to tell you, Tim, reading the story is one thing, but I spent 6 years editing this story. My dad was sending me pictures. He was sending me all of his paragraphs one at a time. I was up till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. He was screaming and yelling at me, I want this done faster. I want this published. I want this, as long as I'm alive, I want to see this book published.
He had some pressure on you.
No pressure at all. But he also took pictures from many magazines and books.
Right.
And he gave it to me and said, put it in the book, and I want to publish it. And I said, Dad, we can't publish this unless we get verification of these pictures, the use of the
sources. Yeah,
and,
sure.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's okay. And then I was fortunate enough that my cousin's significant other went and got documentation and the permission to use the pictures that are in the book.
Yeah.
So we were able to get this book published. His sister, my dad's sister, actually did it for his 90th birthday as a gift.
Was he proud of the finished product?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to imagine he was. I didn't want to assume, but yeah.
Well, he felt that there were certain parts that were left out from his original manuscript. But again, documentation has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And the book right now is on Amazon at Murray Soskal. If you for books and go to the Bronx and Burgess Garten, and it's available for $9.99. The proceeds that we do get from the book are donated to Veterans Administration.
I love it. So love it. You have some time to stick around?
I do.
Okay. Again, this is the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU.
Now, back to the Prophet Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome back to the Prophet Express. I'm Tim Healy. You're listening to 88.7 FM WRHU. Coming up around 6:45, we're going to have Bill Corbett of Corbett Public Relations. And you know, Bill's always got some creative and unique ideas to share. And today he wants to talk to you about, hey, what do you get that perfect client? What will be a great creative gift? And then also another thing Bill's going to share with you is, you know, there's just an onslaught of holiday parties that are going on. How do you go out there? How do you create that right message and image for you and, you know, represent your brand in a good light in this holiday season? So keep it right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, today, if you're just joining us, a really, really unique guest. I have Marvin Soskal on, who's a good friend of mine. He's a local entrepreneur here in Long Island, Brett Harrison Jewelers. We've had the pleasure of knowing each other for a number of years. And he's here not really to talk about himself today, although you've plenty of good things to say about yourself. But more importantly, I wanted Marvin to come on to share the story of his dad, Murray Soskal, who's a World War II hero. He wrote this book, From the Bronx to Berchtesgaden, a combat memoir of a World War II hero. And why am I having the topic on the Prophet Express? Really, it comes down to two ideas that I think everybody listening could benefit from: hard work and sacrifice. And it's not to diminish everything that your father went through, but at the end of the day, as I read the story, and, you know, on a daily basis, digging your own, you know, foxhole to sleep, to survive, you know, in frozen tundra, just day in and day out for 3 years. And that's just not even scratching the surface of what your dad did. I just thought it was helpful for you to hear from a different perspective hard work and sacrifice, because at the end of the day, as the entrepreneur, as a sales pro out there, that's something we have to do each and every day. So I thought a different perspective would be helpful and certainly interesting. So again, from my perspective, it's a super, super great read. So hey, if you're a World War II fan, if you're a fan of just a great American story, certainly check out From the Bronx to Berchtesgaden by Murray Soskal. So again, Marvin, thanks so much for being on board today.
Thank you again, Tim, for having me tonight.
I really am sad no offense to you, but I'm sad we missed having your dad here on the show because he did pass last year on of all days, September 11th, 2013.
He was lying in the hospital actually for 14 days, and it's almost as though he held out to become the unsung hero. Okay, he has always wanted this Purple Heart, and it was almost like, this is the day I'm going to pass. And the day of his funeral, It was actually pouring. The rain was coming down. It was teeming. We were on the way to his gravesite. Mm-hmm. As we got to the gravesite, I had a military funeral.
Sure.
So we had, they were playing taps. They had the flag over his gravesite, and it was pouring. The second we pulled up to the gravesite, the rain stopped. And the sun came out. They started blowing taps, and as soon as they started blowing taps, there was a rumbling of thunder. And for the first time in my life, this thunder rumbled until the moment that they stopped playing taps. And at that moment, the sun came out, and there was a ray of life that my dad was reaching out and saying, thank you.
Wow.
So.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
So, you know what? One of the things out of this book also, you know what? You talk about it, hard work, humility. My father started a business from nothing. He built it up to, I'm not going to say an empire, but we were a very healthy family business. We worked really hard. We always did the right thing for our clients, and he's taught me a lot about, again, when it comes to doing business, to do the right thing. Okay?
And It was Little Neck Jewelers was the name of the shop, right?
Correct.
And you had it for about, you said, 40 years?
We were there 40 years, yes.
What do you think, looking back at it now, what impact did his experience as a World War II veteran have on him as an entrepreneur?
Well, one of the things, again, I mentioned earlier that my grandparents came from Europe. They had nothing. My dad was this prodigy son that was going to build something special. He was the son who was going to take his parents and bring them into a new world, a new life, give them a better life. Mm-hmm. So it was always about the family, doing better for the family.
Right.
And that's why he strived to make this business work. It was for the family. And later on, he was able to retire, and I was running the business. And the object was that I would be sending checks his way, and he could live his life in happiness. And then, unfortunately, we had three burglaries in the business, and it created a lot of hardship. And at that point, I had to sell the store.
Yeah.
And I started my own business. I went out there, opened up a temporary office, and 16 years later, I'm still in that temporary office. Working hard.
but he still, the storefront was in existence for 40 years?
For 40 years,
That's still a hell of a run.
Yeah.
That's quite the run. What I'd like to do now is, and I actually read this part of the book this morning, as a matter of fact, is one of the last chapters entitled Peace. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from it. Peace was declared on May 8th, 1945, which also happened to be my birthday, writes Murray Soskal. After living in constant fear of death and physical injury for so long, it took time for the fact that the war was over to sink in. After a while, however, as time passed without gunfire, as I filled my belly with good food and slept at night in a real feather bed without worrying about being murdered in my sleep, I began to accept that peace had come. A man is changed when he comes to within an inch of death time after time, as I did, writes Murray. To be alive is a miracle I cannot understand. I cannot forget the deaths of the many men who fought beside me. I still ask myself, why them and not me? More than 60 years have passed since the war, and I am still haunted by my memories of the dead and the maimed. I'd like to think of myself as certainly somebody who certainly respects the military, and I think most Americans, it's a pretty safe statement, are pro-military, and they do have an understanding of the sacrifices for the most part. I really got a different sense of it having read this book, and that one, those few paragraphs I just shared, I really want to share them on the air because it kind of hit me. I mean, 60 years later. And I could just imagine, I think he goes on to say a few paragraphs later, is as if it all happens yesterday.
And again, Tim, as we discussed previously, my dad had so much humility. He never talked about this. He held this in for the entire time until he was in his mid-80s now.
Right.
And he talks about now how he honors all of those that have gone before him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He talks in the book about stories about how, as a squad leader, he sent his men out one at a time. And it was his turn to go, and one of the men ran out in place of him and got hit by a shell, you know,
yeah.
And it just wasn't his time to go. And every moment that we have in life is very precious.
Yeah.
And my dad understood that, and he learned that, and he was able to express it now through his book.
Well, because there were many guys that he spoke about in the book that he was through basic training with, guys that he knew from, you know, the neighborhood, quote-unquote, from New York. And One, I forget the gentleman's name, the very first day of combat, he was killed.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, so your father goes on saying, why him and not me? Was there any points in life, as you saw growing up, where you know, that experience haunted him? Were there those kinds of challenges growing up?
No, never. Never. In fact, there was a time probably about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. That my dad used to go to temple on Friday nights, and you know, he was very involved in community. Community was important, so being part of the Junish,
which is obviously passed down to you.
Oh, thank you, I appreciate it. It's very important to me.
But, absolutely.
But one day, I was having a conversation with him, and he turned around and said to me, "I don't believe in God." And I said, "I don't understand. How could you not believe in God? You know, here you are connected to temple and whatever." And he said, "You know what? When I look back on things that happened to me during the war, when I look back and I realized the bodies that were floating in the water when we got off of the LTs, mm-hmm. when people were blown up in front of me, if there was a real God, he would have protected those people as well." And I was just taken back because that was the first time in 50 years or more that I knew my dad. I never knew that.
Well, it was interesting. I'm going to paraphrase it, but he says, you know, there's a saying that there's no atheist in a foxhole. And he says, sort of, I think, as I'm paraphrasing it, because he's like, how can you look at that, I mean, that's part of, you know, being a human being. You question these things, obviously, which is natural. And then you see all these atrocities. And they came upon the concentration camps where he said, you know, blood was just flowing down the gutters. I mean, and, you know, the stories that he shares there were obviously, you know, beyond powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. And in his later years, after this book was underway, mm-hmm. all of a sudden my dad was wearing his uniform. He lived down in Florida at the Polo Club, mm-hmm. and for the flag raising on Memorial Day, on Veterans Day, he would always be there with his uniform
sure.
on. We had Yom Shoah, which is a day of remembrance. Mm-hmm. He would get up on stage. He talked in front of 300 people. And again, for the first time, he was starting to express these feelings. And therefore, when he was honored at Citi Field as Veteran of the Game, when his book came out, these were probably the greatest moments in my dad's life.
Man. Well, it's great that he had them.
Thank you.
It's great that he had them.
Sure. And veterans today, by the way, we really have to honor our vets because these people, okay, they don't have long to go on this world.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really need to do is we need to listen to their stories. We need to get their thoughts down on paper
yeah.
because these thoughts, once they're gone, okay?
Forever.
They're gone forever. So we really need to connect.
Well, I think the rate, I recently heard a statistic, I think obviously with Pearl Harbor, you know, the rate of World War II veterans dying per day is in the tens of thousands. You know, obviously, you know, your father passed away. Was he 90 or 91?
He was 91.
91. So, you know, you're getting at that point in life where, you know, it's quite a run. Yeah, whatever people can do. You know, that's actually a great point, Marvin. So you're out there encouraging somebody who's listening. You know, who knows somebody who's the World War II veteran, you know, maybe you encourage them to speak, to share something, you know, while there's time.
Sure.
I didn't even think about it from that perspective.
No.
Your dad was in combat for 3 years. he writes, especially more in the beginning of the book, you know, before he got into combat, how your mom sounds so sweet, by the way. She was following him all around the country when he's in the different parts of the country and training and all that. And she tried to be on base and, you know, do whatever she could to spend some time with him. How tough is it? Was it for your mom back at home? Did she discuss it at all? Did she speak of it?
Well, my mom actually lived with my dad's parents while he was overseas, and okay. She was very connected to them. Mm. She didn't talk much about it, but I'll tell you right now that as my dad was writing this book and the manuscript and everything else, I would hear, "Murray, that's enough. I heard enough about this crap already. I get it done. I don't want to hear any more about it."
Right.
Until the book was written. And after the book was written, I think my mom, okay, had an entirely different view on the entire experience.
So, okay, so she was just hearing, like, the work in progress and had enough of it, and then she reads the book. Well, I mean, it was a really good book.
Sure. All my dad wanted to talk about was his experiences in the war.
Yeah.
From somebody that never, ever, ever talked about it, he wouldn't shut up.
Well, he had 60 years to, you know, it was like, you know, boiling inside of him. My
right.
gosh.
But again, my son put the website together. If you want to hear the story firsthand.
There's a video clip. Share the website again, Mark.
Sure. It's www.murraysoskill.com. That's www.murraysoskill.com. And, it's a great website. On it, there's a link to the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, proceeds from the book will go to veterans associations. So we're looking forward to each and every one of you to follow through and
absolutely
buy
well,
a veteran
it's a fantastic
book
read.
For the holidays.
Absolutely. So looking back, you know, obviously you spent a lot of time with your father in the business. what was the best lesson? Excuse me. That your dad taught you, it's a two-part question. What was the best lesson your dad taught you in life and then in business?
I think the best thing that my dad taught me in life is that there's nobody more important than family. You're born with your family. You rely upon your family. Your family will probably be the only people that'll ever be there for your entire life. Those are the people that you'll be there for them. They'll be there for you. The other thing that my dad taught me, which I follow through on day to day, is that you care about people. When we had clients or customers come into our store, it wasn't just somebody coming in to buy a ring or a piece of jewelry, whatever. It was a family member. We treated each one of our clients personally. I knew when grandma fell and broke her hip. I knew when the dog swallowed a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
I knew when somebody was born. I knew when somebody died. We were part of a community. We really genuinely cared about people. And that's one of the things that my dad instilled in me.
Well, having known you for a number of years, I can say it's definitely true. I've seen you firsthand out in the community doing those very things. So your dad did well by you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope to do. I'm doing the best for my children, and they're following in my footsteps as well, and I'm very proud of that.
Absolutely. Let's take a slight detour for a second. I saw, because you and I follow each other on Facebook, on a happy note, your son was nominated, was it the top 50, is it a teacher kind of thing? Teacher, I don't want to butcher it, so I'll hand it off to you.
Okay, my son Michael.
Yes.
Was a fifth grade teacher. He was on the crisis intervention, but mm-hmm. about 6 years ago, he passed his principalship, his state examinations, and he decided he wanted to make more impact with the students themselves. So he started introducing technology into the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, as things went on, he was Skyping and he was Skyping with classes all around the world.
Mm.
So what they were doing is there's a lot of collaboration now between students in the U.S. and students all over the world. Skype is very interested in
sure.
having him come as a speaker. He won the Presidential Award for Excellence in Teaching Math last March.
Wow.
He won the Microsoft Award a couple of weeks ago. And he applied for, and he is, there are 800,000 teachers globally. My son was just awarded to be in the top 50, and we're hoping that he'll be in the top 10. And, you know, this is Global Communications. It's the Global Teachers Prize.
Not too shabby.
So
congratulations, Dad, and to your son.
Well, I'm proud of all three of my
children. I did want to mention it because I saw it, and that was a pretty good thing. So I figured I'd give you a chance to talk about that. But thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing this. I'm glad we were able to get you in the studio. Again, my opinion, it was a fascinating read. It was, you know, for you out there listening, whether you could be a, you know, just a fan of World War II and the sacrifices, a great American story, which is what this is and what, you know, Murray Soskal as a real World War II hero was. You know, go out and get the book from the Bronx to Berkshire's Garden. Just a great read. And again, Marvin, thanks for sharing your dad's story with us today.
Thanks so much for having me here and honoring my dad.